All right. So today we're going to study about Cain and Abel. What happens is that Cain, he brings a korban, he brings an offering. But Hashem does not accept his offering. And Hashem does not accept his offering because it's a lousy offering. So what was he thinking? In the fourth reading, first parsha of the Torah, we hear about Adam and Chava's family. We start a family. And Chava gives birth to a baby boy, and actually a twin sister, which for whatever reason the Torah doesn't give us details about. So she has a baby and she calls him. Cousin Cain. Why did she call him Cain? Adam Yoda is Chava, chapter 4 in the beginning. Adam was intimate with Chava. Vatahir, and she became pregnant. Vatelodes Cain, and she gave birth to Cain. Vatemer, she said, Konisi Ish Es Hashem. I have acquired a person with God. So Rashi tells us, pick it up in the middle of the Rashis, that Cain, the name Cain, comes from the term Konisi, Hashem Konisi, and she meant to say when she named him, Es Hashem Kemoi Im Hashem, as if with God. In other words, Kishabara Oisi V'es Ishi, when we were created, meaning Adam and Chava, we were not created from parents. Hashem created us. Hu levadai bra anu. He himself created us. So there was no partner, so to speak. God didn't have any partners in the creation of Adam and Chava. Aval bazeh, but here he says, in the creation of Cain, shutofim anu imai. We are partners with Hashem. We partner with God. We brought a person into the world. And of course, the Gemara indeed tells us, Shleisha Shutvim Ba'adam, that there are three partners in the creation of a person, father, mother, and a Kaddish Baruch. Okay. So what happened? What happened is that she had more children afterwards. Vatesef Luledes is Achiv. On to verse 2. She went on to have his brother. Who was that? As Hevel. The world calls Cain and Abel. Vayhi Hevel Royitzoin, V'Kayin Hoya Eved Adam. So we don't know much about the childhood. The Torah doesn't tell us about the first teething moments, or what the first pair of shoes looked like. We just go straight from their birth. The next thing we hear about is their careers. They're already grown, and they're working. So this is an important Rashi over here. Es Cain, Es Achiv, Es Havel. So Rashi says that the word Es comes always to add. So there's Gimel Esen. It says the word Es three times. Or Et. Ribuyim Heim. This comes to include something extra. Melamed. This teaches us, says Rashi, Shetu'uma Noelda Im Cain, that Cain had a sister, a twin sister, Ve'im Hevel Neldu Shtayim, and Hevel was not a multiple pregnancy, it was triplets, not just twins. And Chava had Hevel and two twin sisters. Lakach Nemar, that's why it says, Vatosef. Vatosef comes from the terminology on additional. So before she had a baby, or two babies, Cain and a sister, and now Vatosef, it was even a larger pregnancy, was triplets. All right? So now we know that they have twin sisters, which answers the question, how did they propagate? Who did they marry? Even though the Torah says, obviously, that incest is prohibited. But nonetheless, Hashem made in the beginning, in order for the human race to proliferate, so that Hashem made it, that Adam and Chava had children, and their children married themselves with, amongst each other, and that's how the first humans were born. Now we go straight into their careers. This is really interesting, because they chose different careers. They were not very far apart, only one pregnancy away, which in those days meant like hours, or so the Medrash tells us. So they could have been very, very close in age. The Medrash says that there was the first pregnancy was 9 hours instead of 9 months. It doesn't say the childbirth is any easier, though. It just says the pregnancy was very short. So I don't know if that was a Hevel also the case, or maybe it started to get longer right away. But at any rate, they weren't far apart in age, but they did very different things. So Rashi tells us that Hevel was Roye Tzoin. So who's older? Cain is older. Cain is born in verse 1, and Hevel is born in verse 2. But immediately we talk about what Hevel did. He Hevel Roye Tzoin, the Cain hoye eved adam. So Rashi tells us that the career paths chosen give us insight into how these people looked at the world, how Hevel looked at the world, and how Cain looked at the world. Initially, humanity was intended to work the ground. It's like Hashem tells that to Adam very clearly. Go work the ground. But Hevel chose otherwise. Why didn't he work the ground? Why wasn't he a farmer? It says, Rashi lefish niskal lo ha'adomo, because the earth was cursed. So because he knew about this, presumably Adam and Chava told their children the stories of creation, the stories of how things began, and that Hashem cursed the earth. So Peter shleim avidasa. So Hevel said, you know, in that case, I don't want to work the earth. See, he was kind of a righteous fellow. He was looking for a higher, cleaner, a holier way to live. He became a shepherd. But Cain was perfectly happy to do what they started doing, what they were supposed to do, and he was the one who worked the earth.
But what was the need for a shepherd when they didn't eat meat?
What was the need for a shepherd?
Well, they didn't eat meat.
No, they didn't eat meat.
So what was it for the?
It wasn't cattle. It was sheep. Huh? They needed clothes. You need clothes, and you need food. So the wool provided them with clothes.
Not food.
So food that they got from the ground. So you had two children. One took care of the clothes, and one took care of the food. Kind of worked. Got to wear something. So that's the decision that he made. That's the decision he made to do. What happened? Days went on. At some time, at some passage of time, Cain decided to bring from the produce of the ground a mincha l'Hashem. He decided to bring an offering. Says Rashi, mipri ha'adama, min hagarua, from the worst that he had to offer. And of course, that's why Hashem doesn't like what he had to offer. Even though it was very nice of him to think of offering something, he was the first one to come up with this idea. Mr. Goody Two Shoes Hevel did not come up with the idea. Cain is the one who came up with the idea. But what did he do? He brought Menah Geruah. Now Rashi adds, the Yesh, there is in the teachings of our sages, Agoda, there is an Agadic teaching, She'imeres Zera Pishton Hoya, that he brought flax seeds. And Hashem doesn't take it. The Hevel, go to verse 4. Hevel hevi gamhu mi bichres tzeine. He brings from the choices, from the finest of his flock, umichel behen. The Torah describes twice how it was the cream of the crop and the finest and the best. And the Torah says, Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'ilmen chosei. Hashem responds, God responds to Hevel. He responds to Hevel's offering. Ve'elkayin ve'elmen chosei leisho. But he didn't turn or respond to Cain, or his offering. Vayicha lekayin me'od, vayiplu panav. He was enraged, and so to speak, his face fell. It's a euphemism. And then there's this incredible hatred and jealousy, and we soon read of the first homicide. So the question is, what in heaven was Cain thinking?
It wasn't in heaven. It's just jealous.
Well, what was he thinking when he brought the worst? Why did he bring the worst? You wanted to bring a karma.
Bring a present.
Why would you do that? A person brings a present because he wants somebody, something else to be happy, so you bring the worst. So if you did the best you could do, okay, he did the best he could do. He was a farmer. So he brings him from Zera Pishtam. He can't even eat the stuff.
Did he choose being a farmer, or was he obligated because they needed food?
Doesn't say whether he chose it or not. It says that Hevel chose. He followed the path of least resistance. He did the natural thing. That's what they were supposed to do.
A sort of what?
Huh?
A sort of what? He's following what his parents were doing, Cain and Hevel.
We learned. We learned a moment before you came. We learned that Hevel chose to do something differently because the earth was cursed. But Cain does what you're supposed to do. So why did he bring Menaguru? Doesn't make any sense.
Stingy?
So here's a beautiful explanation from the Rebbe, based on a teaching of Alter Rebbe in the Kutat Torah. Let's go to page Tzadik Ches in the Biurim book. And on this particular occasion, the Rebbe set out to explain the inner or mystical reason as to what was Cain thinking. Yesh levayer es taima hapnimi. We could explain the inner reasoning of Cain. Lakach shalokach min hagerua. This very strange phenomenon that he took from the worst. Now there is another opinion in Rashi that he took me'eze shabal yodei. He took whatever came to hand. He didn't look for the worst. He just took whatever came to hand. And presumably Rashi says that second interpretation because the first interpretation is which is literal. It says mipri ha'adama, and we know later that it was not accepted, so there had to be something that wasn't right with it, because why didn't Hashem accept it? So clearly it was not the finest, it was not the best, especially because when it comes to Hevel's offering, the Torah describes in detail how it was the best. So Cain's wasn't the best. So the secondary interpretation is he took whatever came to hand, which also wasn't the best. That it wasn't, he chose the worst, but it just ended up being the worst. Which doesn't help us that much, because you're going to bring a gift, so take the time to choose. So one is that he actively looked for the worst, and the other one, he was just thoughtless. Even thoughtless is not good. It mollifies the situation a little. So okay, he didn't look for the worst, but he was thoughtless. But in a certain way, that presents even a bigger question. How could you do such a thoughtful thing thoughtlessly? It's almost like a contradiction in terms. So the Rebbe says, "Amar didik think." Mevur b'lekut ha'teira. It explains in the Maimar b'lekut ha'teira, which speak about Yom Kippur. Shekarbanu shel Cain, hu bedugmas big day hakohen gadol b'yom Kippur. That the offering that Cain brought was in the image of, or within the frame, of the Kohanim's clothing, specifically the Kohen Gadol's clothing on Yom Kippur, which the Torah describes it in great detail, that the clothing worn by the Kohen Gadol was linen, which is made of flax. The Torah says the word bad. Bad is linen, and it says the word bad after each word. Michnasei bad, yilbishal b'sarei. Ksoin is bad, avnet bad. The Torah repeats bad several times. After each article of clothing, it emphasizes that it was made of bad, that it was made of linen. So the Alter Rebbe explains there, Shemailas HaPishtan, that the virtue that is found in flax, which is not found in other materials from which cloth is fabricated, is Shemikol Garin Tzemeach Kone Yachid. From every seed planted, a single stalk grows. This is not the case with other things. The ein shnei konim oylem migeza echad. You never get two stalks from a single seed. Each seed produces one stalk. Masha'en kein b'sha'ar kol minit smicha. When it comes to all kinds of things that grow from the ground, everything else is different. So, for example, chitim, v'dagon, you talk about wheat, you talk about the grains. All the grains don't grow that way. The grains grow in multiples. But bad, or a flax, grows one seed, one stalk. So what's up with this? And the Alter Rebbe explains there, l'fisha b'chinas bad, haynu shenimshach me'olam ha'achdus. Because bad is a reflection of the oneness of creation. And really, in truth, everything boils down to one essence. All from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything. So the fact that there's multiplicity in the world, that's God allows multiplicity and creates multiplicity. But that's only superficial. That's what we see. The intrinsic truth is the oneness that binds everything together. One God. And there's a oneness that's the root source of everything. And that's why the Kohen Gadol's clothing were made of bad. And that's why it emphasizes bad so many times. We emphasize. Because the whole idea of Yom Kippur is called Achat Bashana. That's once a year, one day a year, one person, the Kohen Gadol, one place that's never entered otherwise, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Everything about Yom Kippur is about oneness, about Achdus. And we go into like an angelic state of consciousness, or we're supposed to, which also means we leave behind the multiplicity of the world, we leave behind the things that regular everyday life is made of, and we become singular. So it's this singular energy that the Torah wants to emphasize, even in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, that should be made specifically of flax. That's what the Alter Rebbe says in the Kodesh Torah. So our Rebbe now approaches this story of Kayin's bringing a carbon. And he says, Lefizeh muvan atam, this could give us insight. This can help us understand what was Cain thinking. Why would he do something strange like that? Why would he choose to bring the worst? Like, why would he do that? Shekayin leirot tzairich lehovi mehamuv chardavke. Kayin did not see any reason to bring of the finest, the choicest, or the best. Why? Because the very fact that there can be worst, average, or best is indicative of the multiplicity that Hashem created in the world. There's many layers. There's all kinds of things. And because there are many different kinds of things, so from Cain's perspective, the whole notion of different kinds was totally irrelevant here. He was trying to connect to the deepest essence of divinity, and the deepest essence of divinity that he wanted to recognize was the oneness of Hashem. So he would bring from whatever. It made no difference, either thoughtlessly or even making a point of showing that he didn't acknowledge or recognize or appreciate the fact that there is a worst, a best. It's irrelevant. He's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Again, God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need gifts. So this is all about a human being coming forward trying to give of themselves. That's what a korban is. A korban is, we seek kiruv. Kiruv is closeness. That's what they had this idea. So what should we give to God? What's meaningful? What's special for us? So everybody gave what he had. And in giving what they had, they wanted to express themselves before Hashem. But Cain said, since it makes no difference to God anyway, when I give this, I should do it in a manner that is reflecting this concept, the oneness of Hashem. He wanted, Hirgish HaSa'achtas, Cain was no slouch. He's not a Russia, wicked person. Remember, he's the one who came up with this idea. Hevel never thought of it. He felt the Achtos Kefi Shehi Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmi Kav Yachol. He felt that this oneness, so to speak, Shelegabov, that from God's vantage point, Hakol Shava, it's all equal. As we say in our Rosh Hashanah davening, Yom Kippur davening, we say Hashava Omash VeKotev VeGadol. The biggest, the smallest, it's all. It's irrelevant. Ein hevdel ben muvchel legeruah. The difference in the best or worst. Best or worst is in our world is a difference in best and worst. You want finest. You don't want the worst. That's from our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, there's no best. There's no worst. The whole thing doesn't begin. Now, this is such a compelling reason We have to ask ourselves, why did God not accept it? Mm-hmm. If that's what he was thinking, wow, that's like Gvaldik, that's wonderful. So Cain was this deep mystic. A deep mystic who became a depraved murderer, but but he was like a mystical guy. He had this very lofty level of God consciousness. He's the one who thought of the idea of bringing a carbon. So what was wrong with that? So the Rebbe says, Elashan Hagazu ini masima l'ritzenish l'kadosh baruch. This attitude doesn't match the will of Hashem. What does Hashem seek? Ritzenish l'kadosh baruch. The will of God is not that we should escape reality here and try to, so to speak, move ourselves into a heavenly existence, which works very well on Yom Kippur, by the way. That's good. Bad is good. Flax is good on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur. But it's not good all year. The emphasis on the oneness is all about the escapism to some degree. Now, it's true, a Yid escapes the realities of his everyday life, and he becomes cleansed and hallowed and elevated, and then you can go in, back into the world and do what you have to do. So the Ratzon of Hashem is Achdus Hashem Tachde B'Toicha Olam U'Bim Migbuleisav, that the oneness of Hashem, the presence of God, should be felt within the confines, within the framework of reality, not ignoring reality. U'Miyachas Shebe'Olam Yeshna Hevdel Bein Pri Muvchar LeGarua, because within the frame of existence, as we know it, not as God knows it, as we know it, that's what this is about. It's the frame of reality as we know it, because Hashem put us into that frame. And in that frame, there is a difference, a huge difference, between the best and the worst. Well, in that case, since bringing Achdus Hashem is bringing a sense of God consciousness and an awareness of God into the confines of reality, into the framework of the world as we know it, yesh lahakbid, then one has to be very meticulous. Sha'akorban la'Hashem yiyeh min hamuvchar davka. It does have to be the finest and best. Why? Because you have a finest and best. If you have a finest and best, that finest and best has to be employed when you're going to bring an offering for Hashem. It's interesting that when we use as an offering, or even for a mitzvah, it has to also be kosher. Why does it have to be kosher? Why do you have to use Shem and Zayas? We light a menorah soon, the next Yom Tov, a Hanukkah. So it has to be Shem and Zayas. It has to be olive oil that has a kosher sign on it. And you really have to be careful, because now it's common knowledge that the 100%, when it says 100%, it's not really 100%. Up to 2%, which is less than batel b'shishim, more than they're able to put other substances in. And many of them use animal derivatives. I'm not sure, but they mix a little bit in. So you really have to make sure that your olive oil for Hanukkah is kosher. Why? Your menorah is a Jew? The menorah is eating the olive oil? God is eating olive oil? The answer is, if you wouldn't need it, how could you give it to God? It says, min hamutar b'ficha. If it's permissible for you can give it as an offering. How could you use something which is not permissible for you? You use that, it doesn't work. In other words, we play a huge role here. This is not about ignoring our reality. This is about embracing and harnessing our reality. This is about transforming and elevating our reality. Sha'akor mela Hashem yeh min hamuvchar. It should be kosher, it should be the finest. Because you have a finest, because I have a finest. If we have a finest, then the korban has to be given of our finest. Precisely because, lahadgish, to emphasize, as hakara, the awareness and the recognition, shalashem ha'aretz umloya, the world and its fullness is to Hashem. Not that we ignore the reality of the world. People would say, why does the show have to be beautiful? God needs nice pews. God needs a beautiful ark. No, God doesn't need anything. You need it. How would you be showing respect for Hashem if people live in beautiful homes, but they don't make a home for Hashem that reflects the same standard of living? And it's actually a halacha, that the shul you daven in has to reflect your standard of living.
It has to be nicer.
It has to be even nicer. It's a halacha. Why? You think you're closer to God because you made God mahogany? Yeah, you are. Why? Because you have to give. And when you give the finest, and when you give the best, that's what brings you close to Hashem. And this Cain totally missed.
But he didn't
incidentally,
know. He didn't have a Torah.
That's true. So Hashem speaks to Cain.
But he creates this horrible jealousy.
He didn't create jealousy. Cain got jealous.
He created Cain.
He created Cain, and he gave him the freedom to choose. Hashem didn't create. evil people. People create themselves to choose to be evil. But he spoke to Cain, didn't ignore Cain. Hashem explains to him why he didn't accept his offering. And he says to him, you're always going to have a Yetzer Hara. And he's always going to be crouching at the corner. And you're going to have to fight with him. He guides Cain. He's teaching him. Unfortunately, Cain's anger and frustration and jealousy got the better of him. And we had a disaster ensue. But remember, he had nobody to learn from. There was no precedent.
You know, he had no high-level reason of killing Ethel. You know, you think like
I never heard of a...
No, because like
the high rationalization for murder. I mean, actually, why should I say that? These people rationalize it all the time.
The brothers supposedly had a reason for what they did to Joseph, the higher level. But I'm thinking
that it doesn't say that. It says that he was in a fit of rage. He lost himself.
Isn't that the space in the Torah before? Doesn't that indicate that this was just manslaughter that he went Michigan?
He did. He did.
Premeditated.
It wasn't something that he carefully thought about.
Heat of the moment.
Heat of the moment. And that's, people say, I didn't do an Aveda. It was just my anger. It was heat of the moment. Baloney. That is an Aveda.
That's why he didn't have Misa. Right? God didn't.
Cain is not punished.
Right.
Fully.
Fully. Right.
At least not in the beginning. Right? Yeah. His punishment is stayed.
Right.
For seven generations. Anyway, now you know what in heaven Cain was thinking. And it is what in heaven. Somebody asked me, was it in heaven? It was. It was in heaven. That was the whole point.
Right. Should have been on earth. The thinking should have been earthbound. Not
right.
Heaven.
The problem was, it was what in heaven, not what on earth.
Right. Correct. Interesting.
All right.